Middle East and Africa.
A new age of austerity. Give a little, get a little. If African states want more tax, they will have to offer something in return.
The art of government is to make two-thirds of a nation pay all it possibly can for the benefit of the other third, Voltaire is supposed to have quipped in Ancien Régime, France. That was a fine idea until revolutionaries started lopping off aristocrats' heads. Kenyan protesters have not gone that far, but their Gen Z movement has rattled the country's complacent rulers. What began as indignation at tax rises has turned into a popular campaign against corruption and misgovernance. The Bastille moment came in June when protesters stormed Parliament and the security forces shot dozens dead. The president, William Ruto, was sufficiently cowed to tear up his tax plans and sack several ministers. But Kenyans are still angry at a political class that is taking people's money, offering no services and being accountable to no one, says Wanjiru Wanjiru, an activist at the Mandhare Social Justice Centre, a community group in Nairobi. There is an old idea in political science that ruling elites start listening to citizens when they need their money or, in wartime, their lives. Kenya is not the only African country where this fiscal bargain is being put to the test. The flow of foreign finance has dried up as global interest rates have risen. Three-quarters of African governments are tightening their belts. Africa has been through painful bouts of austerity before, with damaging effects on health and education. The IMF examined 82 instances of African governments reducing deficits between 1980 and 2021. About a quarter of the adjustments came from tax rises and three-quarters from spending cuts. But this time, governments plan to have an even split. A greater emphasis on tax rises comes partly at the urging of the IMF, which reckons that in Africa they are less harmful to growth. In rich countries, it thinks the opposite. There are plenty of things that could be taxed more. Property in booming cities, oil, gas and mining, which are quite lightly burdened, and the rich who often pay little. But politicians often find it simpler and easier on their own pockets to raise indirect taxes on goods, such as value-added tax or VAT. Another fashionable idea is to try to tax small informal businesses, but this rarely brings the expected gains. There is very little taxable income there because there is very little profit, notes Julia Mascagni of the International Centre for Tax and Development, a research institution based in Britain. What there is in abundance is frustration. Traders in Uganda shut their shops for several days this month in anger at the 18% VAT rate and the costs of complying with a new electronic system. Market vendors in Tanzania did likewise in June, complaining of harassment by tax officials. In Ghana, the government has put plans for a new electricity levy on hold after trade unions threatened protests. Many citizens do not trust the state to keep its side of the fiscal bargain. In surveys conducted between 2019 and 2021 by Afrobarometer, a pollster, some 35% of Africans said that most or all tax officials are corrupt, and only half said that their government uses revenues to benefit the people. Some also wonder whether the bargain is worth it in the first place. About half of Africans said they would be willing to pay more taxes in return for better services, but almost as many said they wanted to pay less tax, even if services got worse. They look more favourably on taxation when they do get better services, like electricity connections, though in cross-country comparisons the relationship is not strong. The roots of tax aversion can be traced to the colonial era, when Africans were first forced to pay taxes. Arbitrary levies provoked revolts, such as the Hutt Tax War in Sierra Leone in 1898. Politicians who opposed a new income tax in Ghana in the 1930s complained that the money would be wasted on European officials and their palatial bungalows. Taxes in African states are tiny compared with those in rich countries. At 16% of GDP, the tax take is far too low to fund the services that citizens demand. It has grown nonetheless, as shown by long-term data compiled by researchers at Lund University in Sweden. They strip out taxes on trade and natural resources, which fluctuate with world prices, and take the remaining revenues as a measure of underlying fiscal capacity. In 1900, the average African state collected the equivalent of 2 days' wages per person. That had risen to 9 days by 1960 at the dawn of independence, and more than 50 days by 2015. But there has not been the same grand bargain as occurred in Europe, where rulers raised taxes to pay for their wars and in return conceded rights. African states have rarely fought each other, and they have looked outward for finance to foreign lenders or the IMF. In rentier states like Nigeria, where about 40% of revenue comes from oil, politicians barely notice the people they govern. Instead of grand bargains, leaders strike a plethora of small ones. Yoweri Museveni, the Ugandan president, has over the years met everyone from dairy farmers to taxi drivers, waiving taxes that his officials wanted to impose. But when young people tried to organise a Kenya-style protest last month against broader issues of corruption, he warned they were playing with fire. Police clamped down. It may be optimistic to think that Africa's revenue squeeze will suddenly lead to better governance. Something is shifting nonetheless. Isaac Danso Aguirre of Tax Justice Network Africa, a civil society group, says that social media are making people more aware of new taxes. Some Ghanaians have posted pictures of their shopping bills online. African taxpayers are used to picking up the tab. Now they are keeping the receipts.